Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, one of our listeners asked a very good question. This was John in Bozeman with a great question. Did they learn nothing from Lahaina? Did they learn nothing from Lahaina? I mean, it's a good question. Maybe, maybe not. Or is it just that they don't care? That they put ideology in front of everything? And anyway, that great question from John in Bozeman, it reminded me of something that Montana's U.S. Senator and aerial firefighter Tim Sheehy told Mark Levin on some of these very radio stations just last week.
Two things can be true. We can care about the environment and want to steward our forests and our clean water and clean air. We can also take care of our communities and do a better job of protecting them. And what you said is absolutely right. We're seeing these left-wing lunatic policies in California, you know, and the accumulation of these policies has impacts. When you have endangered species acts, you know, that prioritizes the Eurasian snail fish over water pressure and fire hydrants, and we don't have enough water to fight fires, that has an impact. When you cordon off forests and say you can't touch these, you can't log these, you can't have roads in these, guess what? You can't fight a fire if there's no road going in the forest. When you cut our aerial firefighting fleet, our air taker fleet in half, which is what we've done in the last 20 years, guess what? We have less planes to fight fires. So these wrong-headed policies have impacts, and the impacts we've seen in wildfire from Lahaina in Maui, where 100 people died, to New Jersey in November, to Texas in March, and now we're seeing Los Angeles, downtown L.A., burning in front of our faces. This is a disgrace. We can do it better. I spoke to President Trump just about an hour ago during our meeting about it, and he is 100% behind us. We're going to fix this problem. We're going to do it fast.
That's because they believe in America first. That's because they believe in common sense. That's because they actually know a little bit about what they're talking about. Donald Trump has built businesses. Tim Sheehy has built businesses. He's also served in the military. He's also served as a firefighter. He's not just some community organizer who got propped up and backed up by a bunch of liberal dark money groups to go to Washington to be their pawn. He's got real skin in the game. He's risked his life for this country, not only as a Navy SEAL, but as an aerial firefighter. And to John and Bozeman's question is like, did they learn nothing from Lahaina? And as Senator Sheehy pointed out in his chat with Mark Levin last week on some of these very radio stations, it's not just Lahaina. It's Texas. It's New Jersey. It's every stinking summer in the Rocky Mountain West. And so have they learned nothing from any of these instances? Do they just not care? I say that it's the fact that these folks, whether it's Gavin Newsom or Joe Biden or the former Democrat senator from Montana or Karen Bass, it's they put ideology before everything. And so it's they put the blinders up. Nope, nothing to see here, folks. No, no, no. And then what do? They put ideology before everything. And then when these massive failures happen under their watch, they could have been either prevented or at least mitigated. What do? They never fix anything. They never change anything. They just back and say, oh, we're just going to blame climate change. Blame climate change. It's the my dog ate my homework excuse for everybody on the left.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy skies and some scattered flurries or a snow shower around the area early today. High temperature readings will otherwise stay from the mid-20s in Bozeman to the mid-30s in the Billings area. For tonight, we can expect mostly cloudy skies. Temperatures will head back in the mid-teens in Bozeman, mid-20s in Billings. On Tuesday, some sunshine develops with highs in the lower to middle 30s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is House Call for Health. Norovirus cases are on the rise throughout the U.S., but there are ways you can protect yourself from infection. Norovirus causes nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea. It's highly contagious and is more common during the colder months when we spend more time gathered inside. The bug typically spreads by being near someone who's sick, consuming contaminated food or drink, or touching contaminated surfaces. A person usually gets symptoms 12 to 48 hours after being exposed. Experts say one of the best ways to prevent getting sick is to regularly wash your hands. They also suggest sanitizing all high-touch areas, like countertops, doorknobs, and light switches. There's no treatment option for norovirus. Aside from rest and staying hydrated, most symptoms completely resolve within 72 hours. But if symptoms become severe, you should seek medical attention. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
We've got a busy couple weeks here with your statewide radio talk show, Montana Talks, Friday the 17th. I'll be live from Helena. We'll be previewing the Montana Electric Cooperative's Co-op Days at the Capitol event. That event will be taking place Monday, January 20th. I'll be at President Trump's inauguration, then a live show from Capitol Hill in Washington on the 21st. And for the remainder of that week, Montana Talks, live from the SHOT Show in Vegas. So a lot coming up in the next 2 weeks.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, now CNN wants to talk with Tim Sheehy. Now CNN wants to, you know, just hear what the guy has to say. You know, when he was Republican Senate candidate, Tim Sheehy, they didn't want to just talk to the candidate, hear what the candidate has to say on the issues, why you're running for the Senate, tell us about, you know, being a Navy SEAL and your thoughts on it. No. They didn't want to go on a flyover with him. They didn't say, wow, imagine the incredible video. Because, you know, if you're in radio like we're in right now, you want good audio, right? You want to have a good conversation with folks. But if you're on TV, you want the video. You want the best video. Unless the best video might promote a Republican Senate candidate. I mean, think about it. Last summer, Tim Sheehy had to take a break from the campaign trail because they called up the reserves. He's running in the most important U.S. Senate race in the country. So he stepped down as CEO of the aerial firefighting company that he started. And he was still, you know, fighting fires, you know, into the summer, last fire season here in Montana, right? Saving homes, him and his team, saving lives, saving the so-called public lands. And I don't think there was one time when any of these TV outlets, whether it was CNN or even somebody here in Montana, said, hey, do you mind if we come up in the aircraft with you? Do you mind if we come in the cockpit with a video camera, or maybe we could throw a GoPro camera in there and just get some video of you doing your thing? Get some of the audio of, you know, the radio traffic control discussions, whatever, show this incredible feat where you guys, you know, dive down, collect the water, immediately pull up, and then do the same thing right on top of these flames. Wow, that would be incredible video. Now, John Tester at the time he'd show up in Big Sandy once or twice a year. Look at me, I'm a farmer. And they would hop in the cab of that combine or tractor every single stinking time to plop to prop up the flip-flop flat top. But man, aerial firefighter, nah. And instead, you know what we're going to do? We're going to trash his company. We're going to trash this company that was started and founded by a veteran and employs so many fellow veterans and saves lives and saves. Now we're going to trash that company because he's now a Republican Senate candidate. Before he was a Republican Senate candidate, oh no, they loved him. I mean, he was getting good media coverage and everything. But no. You announce yourself as a Republican candidate and they started to just try to trash him. But now CNN and everybody else, now they finally want to talk to him about being an aerial firefighter. And you think about it. It was a great segment on CNN of all places. I watched just one of the highlights. It was a good segment on CNN with Montana Senator Tim Sheehy. But think about the video they could have had to go with that. They could have had this great video. Oh, by the way, here's video of now Senator Tim Sheehy last summer in the cockpit as CNN crews tagged along with him to cover the firefighting. But no, they didn't do that because they didn't care, because they only had to attack him because he was a Republican last year. But either way, you know, now CNN, you know, this massive population center in Los Angeles, they're having the Battle of Los Angeles. CNN's ratings are in the tank. So now CNN's like, you know, hey, we don't want to do it, but the election's over. And we need to be talking about these L.A. wildfires. And this guy knows what he's talking about. So, okay, get him on CNN. Here you go.
Speed, initial attack. So in America, if you dial 911 in this building or at your home, there'll be a fire engine at this address in 5 minutes. That's national code. NFPA 491710. It is required nationally. There is no national code to respond to a wildland fire. It can take hours, it can take days before an aircraft or a fire truck can respond to a wildland fire. We have to reform that. That's number one. Number two, appropriate resource coverage. Basically, our wildland firefighting apparatus shuts down outside the summer. We treat these firefighters who are brave first responders, we treat them like seasonal ski resort employees. They get underpaid, they don't get benefits, they don't get medical care if they get injured on the job. I mean, if a veteran like me, I'm a combat veteran of Iraq and Afghanistan, you get wounded, come home, you get a fantastic array of care. It's not always the best coordinated through the VA, but we do our best for our troops. Wildland firefighters don't get any of that. So we need to treat our wildland firefighters like the professionals they are, and we have to have them ready year-round. As we see, it's January. This isn't July or August. It's January. We have to be able to respond to fires all over the country year-round.
Great remarks there. Great remarks there by Montana Senator Tim Sheehy on CNN. I think that was back, well, that was a few days ago, and it was probably around the same time he was on with Laura Ingraham on Fox News and on Mark Levin's radio program as well. But yeah, CNN even had this headline. Here was the CNN headline. Montana elected a firefighter to the Senate. He's already pushing for solutions. He's been pushing for solutions like what he just outlined there for years. For years. If I went back and looked at our show calendar here, When Tim Sheehy announced that he was running for the United States Senate, a lot of people were like, hey, who's this guy? We don't know anything about this guy. Well, if you're a veteran and you follow what's going on in the veteran entrepreneur space and you're passionate about veterans starting their own businesses and employing fellow veterans, you knew who Tim Sheehy was. Well, if you were talking about wildland firefighting policy like we do on this show, it's not just all politics, right? We knew who Tim Sheehy was. In fact, we had him on the show years ago, and he was talking about how we need to fix our nation's wildland firefighting policies. All right, phone lines are open. Back after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Back when I was a young student, we learned that life expectancy in the U.S. was a bit lower than our peer countries, but only a little. We also observed year over year how improvements in health, pharmaceutical breakthroughs, and other factors contributed to a steady rise in expected years of life, which was a tremendous achievement. But it gradually became apparent that expectancies weren't growing as fast here as in other countries. The gap grew to a full 3 years by 2015. Since that time, things have actually become even worse. Life expectancy stopped growing entirely in the U.S., and after COVID, it's actually declined, falling by 3 years since 2020. This amazing and alarming event hasn't gotten enough attention, especially since in our peer countries, the COVID impacts were comparatively minor. Vehicle accidents, homicides and suicides, opioid overdoses, all these have been cited as possible explanations. In the space of a few years, we've quietly undone all the progress that was made in 25 years. I'm Patrick Buck.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
It's January 13th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. It's National Sticker Day. Whether you like scratch and sniff, puffy, or with goofy googly eyes, there's no wrong way to celebrate. The day is actually meant to honor the man who created the adhesive label with removable backing, R. Stanton Avery, born in 1907. Also on this date, in 1979, the YMCA filed a lawsuit against the Village People for their song, YMCA, over trademark infringement. Eventually, the matter was settled out of court, and actually, the YMCA later said they were proud of the song for the positive way it portrayed their organization. And baseball legend Hank Aaron of the Atlanta Braves was elected to the Hall of Fame in 1982. If it's your birthday today, you share it with the creator of Grey's Anatomy, Shonda Rhimes, born in 1970. and one of the stars of Grey's Anatomy, McDreamy himself, actor Patrick Dempsey, born in 1966. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
Speed. I love the fact that this is really becoming the word that is summing up the opening few days of Capitol Hill back in Washington, D.C. You know, this, that CNN, I think it was Caitlin Collins, asked Tim Sheehy about, you know, what can be done, what do we need to do to fix, you know, our strategy here in fighting these fires, and he immediately launched into several bullet points there about what we can actually do, not just fluffy, feel-good talking points, actual solutions, actual on-the-ground and in-the-air experience. And so that was great. But also speed when it comes to getting President Trump's team in place. Here in about 15 minutes, Ryan Schmelz with Fox News Radio is going to join us on the show to talk about, you know, how even though President Trump isn't going to be sworn in as the 47th president until next Monday, 1 week from today, his proposed cabinet members are already getting confirmation hearings in the United States Senate this week. Why? Speed. He needs to get his team in place. Look at the security challenges facing this country, all the problems facing this country, especially as a result of the last 4 years of the Biden tester regime. We can't afford to be wasting any time. So Republican senators are a good job. They've already been sworn in 10 days ago. So even though President Trump isn't sworn in until next Monday, they're going to start the confirmation hearings this week. We're going to get the update from Ryan Schmelz here in just a few minutes. Meantime, phone lines are open for you. 406-294-0970. Francis in Big Fork, first up on this Monday. Francis, great to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to say I really was impressed by Sheehy. He thinks fast. When you're flying them airplanes, your mind has to be good. And you can't dive in and make mistakes because you're dead. And, you know, he's such a humble person, and they just like to tear him down. And do you know if that airplane was one of his that got damaged with the drone in California?
I don't believe that was one of his. Yeah, I saw the photograph of that. It was a massive hole left in that aircraft.
Oh, yeah.
And so... Yeah, but I did see, thanks to Kat in Sydney, Montana, listening in this morning, NBC Montana has a report, Bridger Aerospace is sending their Super Scooper aircraft, their request was approved, so their aircraft will also be down to help out with the Battle of Los Angeles, and just like some of the other Super Scoopers that you've already seen on station down there. So, they're headed down there. Obviously, a lot of Montana firefighters from Columbus to Red Lodge to Missoula. Ground crews are headed there as well. Yeah, yeah, a whole host of incredible Montana firefighters are headed that direction. So God bless every single one of them.
Yes. I wish we had some strong people in Helena, not all these rhinos would be a good idea.
So you brought up Helena and rhinos. I'm assuming you're talking about this standstill in the state Senate where 9 Republicans are voting with the Democrats, and we're still at a standstill.
Yeah, why don't they just run as Democrats? Because they know they wouldn't win. But, you know, we got to get rid of them. And I know we got one up here, Gardner. I think he's in that mess.
I think he got termed out, if I'm not mistaken, or at least is in the House side.
I hope so.
So
yeah, but he's taught one of them guys how to be a rhino.
So here's the thing.
We don't get nothing done.
Yeah, isn't it frustrating that the Republican infighting that always hampers the Republicans? It seems like, you know, it also isn't it interesting, Francis, that It seems like Republicans in Washington are finally uniting and then fighting.
Finally.
House Republicans are finally united. Senate Republicans seem to be united and moving forward with President Trump's nominees and agendas. And so, but yet now, infighting in the Republican caucus is bogging things down. And we'll talk more about that story later on in the 9 o'clock hour. Some of these nine Republicans, they're not like liberal Republicans or what you might describe as rhino Republicans, but yet still, why are you voting against your leadership? And if they've agreed to committee changes, then what's the holdup? So hopefully this all gets fixed here very soon. But you elected your leadership in the caucus. Don't undermine your leadership. Now, I understand there might be other concerns at play here where some of these senators, I saw Wendy McCamey out of Great Falls was quoted as saying, hey, I don't think we should have committees that are working against Republican Governor Greg Gianforte. So they're saying, hey, if the Senate Republicans are trying to work against the Republican governor, well, we don't want to support that. So, again, I just think the message of unity is a message, hopefully, that we start to hear more of here all around here in the days ahead. All right. I see we've got Attorney General Austin Knutson on the phone lines. Great. I just saw that he's on the phone lines with us right now. Attorney General Austin Knutson, hey, first off, congrats on being sworn in for your second term as Attorney General. You could tell my voice is still a little raspy, but I imagine I missed a great inaugural celebration for you on Saturday night. Did I hear Aaron Tippin came and performed for your event? How cool is that?
You heard correctly, Aaron, and good morning to you and good morning to your listeners. We decided to do something a little different, something I wouldn't normally do, but we did hold an inauguration celebration in Helena. And we had a surprise musical guest. We didn't tell anybody he was coming, but man, what a patriot. Aaron Tippin, got a chance to meet him and his wife, Thea, and their son who travels and plays with them backstage and just hang out during sound check. They're just great, humble, normal people. And you don't always get that. But he put on a great show. We had another local dancing band after he was closed out, and we had a good time.
Well, that's awesome. I wish I could have been there. I'm still a little raspy, as you can hear my voice, but maybe we'll see you at SHOT Show here very soon for sure. But yeah, Aaron Tippin, great patriot, and I know he loves Montana. I know his wife has connections in, I think, the Lewistown area, so that's awesome. Well, the reason the reason we wanted to get you on the show today, though, is I got a press release, I think over the weekend, from the Montana Department of Justice. Here's a headline in the Helena IR. AG asks SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States, to reverse a state ruling and uphold parental consent for abortions. Yeah, the liberal mob on the Montana Supreme Court has had some outrageous decisions, so I think a lot of folks are going to be pleased to see that you are now appealing to the United States Supreme Court for parents' rights.
Well, I can't not, Aaron. I mean, you've got young kids. I've got young kids. This is outrageous, and if you read this opinion by the Montana Supreme Court, it is outrageous doesn't begin to touch it. So this saga started a decade ago, literally a decade ago, when the state was sued over a ballot initiative that was incredibly reasonable, and frankly, it passed by 70%. It said if you've got a minor child that's going to have an abortion, you have to have parental consent. My kids can't get an aspirin at the school without my consent. Yet somehow we get sued over this eminently reasonable law that was passed by the voters of Montana, not by the legislature, passed by voter initiative. We get sued. That thing stalled out while every judge in Montana ducked on that issue for almost 10 years. That case sat on a temporary restraining order and a preliminary injunction, and nothing happened until I took office. We kicked this thing in the rear. We got it moving. Finally got it up to the state Supreme Court. But what's outrageous about this ruling, Aaron, is our state Supreme Court ruled that your child's right to privacy exceeds a parent's right to parent and raise that child. Now, just think about the implications of this ruling. Set the abortion issue aside for a moment. This is stunning. This is a clear shot at a parent's right to raise their child the way that they see fit, which is a fundamental right recognized by the United States Supreme Court. And Montana's going to give the finger and say, nope, your child's right to privacy exceeds a parent's right to parent. This is nuts. So, yeah, this was an easy one for us to appeal up to the U.S. Supreme Court. And we're really, really hoping they take the case.
Well, and if I remember right, Rob Nadelson, former University of Montana constitutional law professor, as we were talking about all these various abortion rulings and abortion ballot initiatives, he said, look, there are strong federal protections for parents' rights. And if they trample on parents' rights here, that could be grounds for the United States Supreme Court to take up an appeal. So yeah, hopefully that happens here.
Well, this is about the only road they had, because if you go back and you look at the Armstrong decision, which is when the Montana Supreme Court basically ruled that abortion was legal in Montana, they hung that largely on Roe v. Wade. Well, Roe v. Wade doesn't exist anymore. So you got all these so-called pillars that the Montana Supreme Court has used to build this abortion case, and those pillars don't exist anymore. So this was kind of the last road that they could use. It wasn't surprising. This is an extremely liberal court. We know that. And they've tried to expand this right to privacy in Montana Constitution and say it's something special, it's something unique. It's not. It exists in lots of other states, and none of those other states that have that same language have gone as far left as this Montana Supreme Court has.
Well, we're pleased to see the news. Pleased that you call in to talk about it. And I know we only had a quick few minutes, but if your schedule frees up a little more next hour, feel free to call back in. I've got a guest right after this hard break. But yeah, Attorney General Austin Knutson, best Attorney General in the country. Recently sworn in for another 4-year term, and we'll chat with you and see you at the SHOT Show in Vegas, if not sooner.
Securing America.
President-elect Trump has surprised some by declaring that he wants to retake control of the Panama Canal and perhaps annex Greenland. Incoming National Security Advisor Congressman Mike Waltz said Sunday on ABC's This Week there are practical national security reasons why the moves make sense.
The general in charge of our Southern Command, Laura Richardson, testified last year about Chinese state-owned enterprises bidding and buying up portions of the canal, the ports on either side.
Walt says 70% of U.S. shipping goes through the canal, including important military supplies. As for Greenland, Walt says there's concern about growing Russian influence in the Arctic.
Enough is enough of having our adversaries coming into our Western Hemisphere, threaten our national security.
Didn't you ask me? Fox News.
This anymore. Go check it out now. Just click over to crystalflesh.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, 1 week from today, I'll probably try to call in. David Noble's going to be in studio filling in on the show Monday, January 20th. But I'll probably call in from Washington, D.C. I'll probably be in the security line to get into the inauguration at this very, or I'll be through the security line and I'll be just standing there waiting for the event to get started. But I'll try to call in and chat with you guys a couple of times at least next Monday, because I will be there for President Trump's inauguration. Then we'll have a live show from Capitol Hill the following Tuesday. And then, of course, the SHOT Show in Vegas for the remainder of that week. So it's going to be like over a week of road shows here, but it's going to be great. Hey, even though President Trump isn't sworn in until next Monday, the Republican-controlled Senate is already moving forward with confirmation hearings for his nominees. Ryan Schmelz with Fox News Radio joins us with the latest from Washington. Ryan, what's the lineup looking like for the week? And thanks for being with us.
Hey, of course, great to be on. The big one early on is that we have Pete Hegseth, the Department of Defense nominee, showing up tomorrow for his hearing on Capitol Hill in front of the Senate Armed Services Committee. Obviously, one of the most contentious picks from President-elect Trump's nominees. He certainly will be facing questions about his qualifications, about some past comments he's made about women serving in the military, also about sexual misconduct and excessive drinking allegations that he's faced, too. So this will probably be one of the first times he really gets to answer those questions and face a real grilling from senators on this.
Yeah, on camera, in public. It sounds like based off of I'm sure he's been answered these questions, or he's been asked these questions already. Of course, Pete Hegseth is a fellow Iraq War veteran. We were there around the same time, and I've been following his career ever since he started Concerned Veterans for America. Before they've merged into the group that they are now. And then, of course, a lot of people know him from Fox and Friends, and he spent a lot of time back here in Montana speaking at events, et cetera. But it seems like so far, when he's faced these questions from senators behind closed doors, he's won them over. What was it? Senator Marshall, who was on one of the Sunday shows, sounds like he believes that President Trump's nominees will get confirmed, every single one of them.
Yeah, and of course he had the questions from Joni Ernst, who is a Iowa senator, a Republican, also a sexual assault survivor. And it seems like she has kind of been won over at for the time being. I think it depends on how he does in the hearings and all that. And of course he's got his FBI background check, which has now been received by a couple of senators too. I think that's going to be key to getting him across the finish line too, and sorting out some of these accusations against him as well. And yes, I mean, there have been some Democrats. You had Jack Reed, the top Democrat on the Senate Armed Services Committee, who had a meeting with Pete Hegseth and said that he did not do enough to address some of the concerns he has. So I think he's somebody to watch when we get to the hearing process. But, the positive thing for Hegseth and some of these other nominees, that Republicans still have a pretty solid cushion in the Senate right now with 53 Republican senators total, so they can afford to lose up to three of them before their nomination can be sunk. So somebody like Hegseth, there's a couple that we're certainly watching for that could be problems for him on the Republican side. But if he's able to ace this hearing tomorrow, he could be on his way. But I think it's going to be a tough challenge.
All right. Well, I know I, for one, as a fellow veteran, am supporting him, especially given the train wreck that we've seen from these supposed people with all of these credentials and generals and Washington, D.C. insiders that have screwed up our military and our foreign policy so badly. Who else is next up this week? Which other nominees are seeing confirmation hearings, and which day is lined up so far?
Yeah, so tomorrow you also have Doug Collins, who's the VA secretary nominee, who's going to be speaking before the committee there as well. We're expecting to see Pam Bondi, I believe, twice this week in front of two separate committees. So she's somebody who I think will, we're expecting her to get confirmed and have a pretty solid backing behind her. But I wouldn't be shocked if her hearing maybe gets some fireworks, too, because, somebody who supported President-elect Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election results. I believe she was on the legal team when he tried to do that. So I think Democrats may come in hot against her in some of this line of questioning. So, of course, we're never short on political grandstanding in confirmation hearings. So I think even with all these nominees, even the ones that, you're expecting them to go through smoothly, don't be shocked if there's at least a couple fireworks or some testy moments.
All right. Well, Ryan Schmelz, Fox News Radio, thanks for being with us. Maybe we'll run into you running around at the inauguration next week.
Oh, hey, let me know. Get my cell phone number. We can connect at any time.
All right. Sounds good. Well, thanks for your time this morning. Great to have you on Montana Talks. Phone lines are open for you. If you want to jump in on the conversation, or if you got something you want to talk about, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on our Montana Talks app as well. Let's see here. Yeah, Senator Marshall, I believe it must have been on, was it Fox News Sunday or was it Sunday Morning Futures with Maria Bartiromo? I don't have the tweet in front of me. I'll have to go look back at my my recent tweets here on X. I think the Trump War Room shared this out. I think Senator Marshall was on one of the Fox News programs Sunday morning. Here's what Senator Marshall had to say about confirming President Trump's nominees.
So you met with President Trump this week along with your colleagues. Did you have a chance to speak with your colleagues? Do you believe you have the votes in the Senate to actually confirm all of his nominees?
Look, you know, I hate to count my chickens before they hatch, but yes, I do. I think that they need to go through the hearing process. They're going to get beat up by the legacy media and the left as well, but I think the votes are there. And as I've interviewed these people one-on-one, they've been great communicators. They're great leaders. They're very accomplished. Yes, some of them are outside the box, but I do think we have the votes.
All right, here you go. Yeah, he believes we have the votes for all of President Trump's nominees. Here is Senator Bill Hagerty out of Tennessee, also on Fox News over the weekend.
Look at what's happening around the globe from a national security standpoint. Our border is still collapsed. We have very urgent crises that have to be dealt with. President Trump needs his cabinet in place right now. So my greatest concern is that the Democrats don't use procedural opportunities to slow us down. We need to be moving quickly. Every one of these cabinet nominees needs to get a fair hearing. We need to get them in place as quickly as possible so President Trump can move out. You've seen President Trump make many, many steps already to be ready to go and hit the ground on January the 20th running, and we need to have his cabinet in place to support all of that.
And former Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, he was on Fox News Sunday. He'll be sworn in as a vice president 1 week from today as well. He was on Fox News Sunday talking about the dumpster fire that Joe Biden is leaving for the inbound administration.
I wish Joe Biden all the best, but the fact is he has left us dumpster fire, not just at the border, but also with the economy. First of all, we know that prices are way too high for many Americans. We have to work every single day to stabilize prices for American families. But Shannon, everything that he's bragging about ignores the fact that he has added trillions and trillions of dollars to the federal debt during a time of peace. He has left us with bond yields, meaning how are we going to finance that debt? We have to sell treasury bonds. And the treasury bonds have gotten more expensive because of Joe Biden's policies. So you go issue after issue. Oil prices are now shooting through the roof in the final 2 months of Joe Biden's administration, in part because of decisions that Joe Biden has made over the last few weeks. He actually hasn't left the American people in good economic condition. That's why they made Donald J. Trump the president-elect of the United States. So we've got a lot of work to do. I remain fundamentally, and you know this, Shannon, I'll always be an optimist about our country, but I think that optimism has to start with a bit of realism. And the real truth is that Joe Biden has left us a dumpster fire. Donald Trump is going to have to put it out, but he's good at doing that.
All right. Yeah, well said by J.D. Vance, Vice President-elect. We got to take a quick break, and I'm kind of glad we got a quick little break here because I've got these, can you hear the bag? I've got these nacho cheese Dorados. That's right, Dorados, not Doritos, Dorados. So Billings Last Diet. I'm in the middle of my diet tune-up. I like to do at least one tune-up a year, maybe two, all depends. Where just for a couple weeks, you get back into the good habits, back into the swing of things, shed a few pounds. The new year is a great time to get those good habits up and rolling again and slim down heading into the new year. I'm doing it thanks to Billings Last Diet. You can too. Go to BillingsLastDiet.com, and they have a remote option available to the whole state right now. And I'm going to use the
Turn
ride.
Up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minutes.
California is known to have wildfires. Santa Ana winds, and I lived out there, so I know for a fact they are predictable. They're going to happen. So you've got to prepare for the worst-case scenario. You know, they had a referendum on this very issue in building water reservoirs out there from 2014. That's 11 years ago. Not a single one of them were built. Well, why do they have $800,000 green street sweepers in Los Angeles? Why did they cut the L.A. Fire Department budget by $17.6 million just a number of months ago? Why did they want to even cut more money from this knowing that they're not prepared?
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Donald J. Trump is officially the next president of the United States of America. While millions of Americans are rejoicing in the victory, thousands of others are still concerned about their savings. The unfortunate truth is, we still have $35 trillion in debt. The interest on that debt is now larger than our entire defense budget for the first time in history. Plus, the wars that started under Biden are still raging across the globe. So, what can you do to help protect your savings? Many Americans are already taking action by reaching out to the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. Right now, Goldco is offering a free gold and silver kit to show you how precious metals like gold and silver could help you diversify your savings before it's too late. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to get your copy free of charge. Plus, you could receive up to a 10% match on bonus silver for qualified accounts. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. That's HannityGold.com. Paid for by Goldco.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy skies and some scattered flurries or a snow shower around the area early today. High temperature readings will otherwise stay from the mid-20s in Bozeman to the mid-30s in the Billings area. For tonight, we can expect mostly cloudy skies. Temperatures will head back in the mid-teens in Bozeman, mid-20s in Billings. On Tuesday, some sunshine develops with highs in the lower to middle 30s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
We've got a busy couple weeks here with your statewide radio talk show, Montana Talks, Friday the 17th. I'll be live from Helena. We'll be previewing the Montana Electric Cooperative's Co-op Days at the Capitol event. That event will be taking place Monday, January 20th. I'll be at President Trump's inauguration, then a live show from Capitol Hill in Washington on the 21st. And for the remainder of that week, Montana Talks, live from the SHOT Show in Vegas. So a lot coming up in the next 2 weeks.
The new year.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
And look at that. The Montana legislature was only up and running for 5 days, and one of our predictions is already coming true. About the biased liberal media, particularly the Capitol reporters for the liberal Lee newspapers. I'll talk about that and more coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Phone lines are open for you right now and into and through the 9 o'clock hour as well. In fact, speaking of phone lines being open, 406-294-0970. I see we've got Kevin in Billings next up on the phone lines. Kevin, what's going on? What's on your mind?
So there's a bill coming up by Jedediah Hinkle tomorrow in Fish and Game. It's House Bill 139 with about 14 sponsors. And it has to do with an act creating restrictions on the closure of mule deer buck hunting season during general rifle season in November. And it's just an odd bill, it seems to me, that all of a sudden they have to re-clarify some of this, limiting the Fish and Game Commission from enacting some of these hunting restrictions. And I don't know where this is coming from, if it's one of these backdoor groups that is pushing some of this behind the scenes, and Mr. Hinkle felt like he needed to clarify this into law. It'd be interesting, might have him come on the show and ask him what the reasons are and where this pressure is coming from to for this bill to be brought forward.
Good question. I just pulled this up. Your phone call reminded me. There's going to be a lot of bills that are going to come up, and we might be like, House Bill 139, what's that all about? Well, I went to leg.mt.gov, did a quick bill search. I've got it in front of me right now. An act creating restrictions on the closure of mule deer buck. Anyway, you read it already, but yeah, no, that's a good question. Maybe he's listening right now and would want to call in and talk about it. So do you then, Kevin, am I to assume that you feel pretty good about the decisions being made by the FWP Commission right now when it comes to some of the restrictions they put in some of these districts? Just the title of this bill alone makes you think that they don't feel like they agree with a lot of these decisions, so they want to revise some of that.
It's hard to tell. I go all the way back to John Barrasso at the Sheehy rally when he said, you know, hey, there's these people that just, they want you off the land, they don't want you hunting, you know, anything they can do to disenfranchise people, to get get you off, you know, their land as they see it. And, you know, I just, it's just a curious bill to me.
Yeah. No, I think your question about, hey, where's this coming from? What's the issue here that's driving it? Yeah, it'd be really interesting to see what the answer is to that question. And Jed Hinkle's a, you know, a great lawmaker out of the Gallatin Valley. So I know he would have some great insight for us. All right, Kevin, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. We got about a minute or so to go before we wrap up this hour of this show. Let's go to Steve in Ballantyne. Steve, what's on your mind?
Good morning, Aaron. Okay, you know, our hearts go out to the people in California. I mean, they're going through a devastation time. But we all know a lot of it probably could have been prevented. But this is the one that's really bugging me. Okay, back when the when COVID kind of got going, you remember they passed a law that you they could go in there and smash and grab and do whatever they wanted to in them stores. $1,000 or less, we're not going to even arrest them because they're just trying to feed their family. But that's a Democrat rule now. Okay, so now look what they're doing. Now, you know, it is wrong, but they're going in and looting and stealing. And now they're arresting them. But 3 years ago, they're just trying to feed their family. The Democrat Party sucks, Aaron. They play both sides of the fence all the time. All the time like that.
Yeah, no, and Gavin Newsom got called out for it, for, you know, weakening the penalties for that on that very... By the way, did you see Fox News had this on their website earlier this morning? I thought I tweeted it out. The guy that was walking around with the blowtorch while these fires were going on? Yeah. He's an illegal alien. And yeah, they let him back out on the streets.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Back when I was a young student, we learned that life expectancy in the U.S. was a bit lower than our peer countries, but only a little. We also observed year over year how improvements in health, pharmaceutical breakthroughs, and other factors contributed to a steady rise in expected years of life, which was a tremendous achievement. But it gradually became apparent that expectancies weren't growing as fast here as in other countries. The gap grew to a full 3 years by 2015. Since that time, things have actually become even worse. Life expectancy stopped growing entirely in the U.S., and after COVID, it's actually declined, falling by 3 years since 2020. This amazing and alarming event hasn't gotten enough attention, especially since in our peer countries, the COVID impacts were comparatively minor. Vehicle accidents, homicides and suicides, opioid overdoses, all these have been cited as possible explanations. In the space of a few years, we've quietly undone all the progress that was made in 25 years. I'm Patrick Buck.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.